Amen. Come on, give God praise today. Well, before you're seated, turn around, say hi to someone, wave to someone. Again, if you're watching online, we say hello. Let us know where you're watching from today. We'd love to know. And kids, you may be dismissed. We have nursery available. We have Jam Ministry, which is ages 3 to 5. And then we have Big Kids available for grades 1 through 6. And if you didn't register them before service, you can register them right up there with Miss Sam and Miss Cassandra. Just a couple of announcements today. We have our activity night every Tuesday night. If you haven't come and checked that out, we would love to have you. It's 6 to 8 every Tuesday at the St. Anthony's Community Center. Every one of you is welcome just to come, hang out, talk to people in that community center on the south side. It's a great community outreach that we do every Tuesday. Wednesday prayer we have available at the St. Anthony's Sanctuary. It's open from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Whether you come in for 5 minutes or the whole hour, it's up to you, whatever you have. You are more than welcome to come in on Wednesdays. And then Thursday life nights, we've been having a great time Thursday life nights at our services. 7 p.m. this Sunday, Pastor Ryan will be sharing, and he'll also be sharing with you today. It's going to be a great message you're going to hear tonight today and on Thursday night. And then our Back to Church Sunday is September 19th. Next week, we're going to have handout cards that make it a little easier for you to hand somebody a card and say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? And this is a national thing that's done in many churches across the world. It's Back to Church Sunday, and it's a way just to get people to do exactly that, to come back to church. And so we would love to have you invite some of your friends, coworkers, families. More people will come when you are just willing just to ask them, right? We can't assume like people are just going to come, but more people are likely to come if you'll just hand them an invite and say, hey, why don't you come sit with me on that Sunday? So that's September 19th. I want to share with you Isaiah. If you're doing the Bible reading plan throughout the year, you read this on Friday. At least I did. I read it on Friday. And I went to go put something different together for this morning, but this chapter just kept going through my spirit. And so I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. I'm going to read you this scripture, this passage of scripture. It's Isaiah 53. If you need to just shut your eyes, just to tune, you know, any distractions out, just to really glean from what the word says. Right at verse 1, it says, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and yet we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. And that's Isaiah 53. You know, it's a passage that we typically hear around Easter time, right? That we're reminded to really remember what Christ has done for us. But as I listened to that and really meditated on it the past couple days, it's something that we should always be reminded of what Jesus did for every single one of us. For our well-being, he was crucified. For our healing, he was put to death. And he thought of us. His love for us was so pure that he was able to endure the harshness of a criminal's punishment. John Piper wrote that Isaiah 53, he says this, is not only a beautiful revelation of Christ's saving death in place of sinners, but also a stunning validation of its truth. He revealed to the prophet Isaiah the true heart of what Christ's love has done for every single one of us. He died for you and me to show us that he loves us. And I felt so strongly yesterday, and I'm going to say, I said it in the first service, I'm going to say it in this service and in the next service, because I don't know who this is for, but I know it's for someone today. God wants you to know that you are not unlovable. You're not unlovable. Whoever told you that in the past was wrong. Jesus loved you and loves you enough that he died for you. I know many people go like this. He spread his arms out this wide to show you how much he loves you. And I know it's probably a silly cliche that many people say, but it's true. When someone says, how much do you love me? If the world is this big, I love you this big, right? But that's exactly what Jesus did for every single one of us. He loves you. You are not unlovable today. You never have been. He laid down his life to let you know that you have a purpose and that you are loved. Amen? Amen. As Pastor Ryan comes up, he's going to share an amazing message. And I just pray that you open up your hearts to really allow God to come in and just work whatever it is that he needs to work in through every single one of you today. There are different ways that you can give. I almost forgot. let's go. If you can give, keep him first in your life. Put him at the center of everything that you do, including your finances. Give a tithe or an offering. Tithe is a tenth of whatever you come in or whatever comes in through your paycheck. And then an offering is anything above that. But you can text. You can download PushPay on your phone. My son, he had got a job, you know, this past summer, and it was direct deposit, and so he set up PushPay, and he just said to me the other day, like, Mom, you're right, it really is easy. So it really is easy when you set up that PushPay on your phone. You can give with an envelope and put it in a mailbox on your way out, or you can give by mail or online anytime throughout the week. There. Pastor Ryan, will you give Pastor Ryan a good hand as he comes up and shares the message?
Give Pastor Aaron a hand. Aren't you thankful for good boy, Kai. What a young man taking care of God's business. Amen. Not only leading worship, but he's a giver to the Lord's house and his finances. And PushPay is easy. Tell your neighbor it's easy. And Sam and I counted this morning or yesterday, there's 12 families from the body here that are on vacation this week. Somebody say, ooh, and we like you going on vacation, but the truth is the electric bill still comes. Amen. And so when you set up your gift on PushPay, you don't have to think about it. When you go away, it'll be all taken care of. And some of you are looking at me like, get to the word. But you got to. I want to make sure we take care of the Lord's house. Amen. And I'm thankful for the people who give a reoccurring gift each week that make it all possible. Dad and Mom are gone. They are, and I didn't count them, so there's 13 families. And Dad, make sure you give your tithes and offerings. Somebody say amen. Amen. And he does. And I hope you have a great time. Some of you are like, whoa, he just said that? Yeah, I do. I do that. This morning, we've been on this series on identity. And I don't know about you, but it's really spoke to my heart. It's really challenged me from the inside out. And Hector Santos came, Prophet Hector Santos came a couple weeks ago, and he began to share on Guess what? Identity. And we never talked. We never said anything. We asked him to come, I don't know what it was, Aaron, 3 months ago. And he comes in here and he says, I want to minister tonight from a subject. It's a brand new message, he says. And I asked him afterwards, I said, have you been watching our online services? He goes, no, why? And I said, because you preached on identity and we've been doing a series on that. And so I know that God has intentionally been challenging us to be formed into his image and into his likeness. And that's our identity. When people look at us, they should say, hey, that should have really set him off. That should have really set her off. And they should look on and say, there's something different about the identity that this individual carries. And I don't know about you, but that's my prayer. Is that your prayer this morning? That when people see your actions and what you represent, they know there's something different. Our identity matters. And when Hector was here, if you'll just stick with me a few minutes, I want you to really, you're going to have to use your mind this morning. And when he was here, there was a car on this side of the parking lot that midstream through his message. It started, I don't know if it was a motorcycle or, Susie, you were sitting over here, and it was loud. It was a motorcycle. And the thing popped, and just about everybody in the place kind of jumped a little bit. Am I saying it right? And Prophet Hector said, he said, what was that? And he kind of paused for a minute. He hung on it for a second. I kind of like moments like that where, you know, I don't know, God, I think God uses stuff like that, kind of get our attention sometimes. And he said it again. He said, what was that? And in that moment, there was quite a few that were startled. And the Lord began to download this message in my spirit. And it startled many because of the hatred and the expression of hatred in ways all around the world. Am I saying it right? And I came to this statement, and I want you to hear this. It says hatred is easily seen when you're victimized by it, but it's easily hidden when you possess it. Let me say that one more time. Hatred is easily seen when you're victimized by it, but it's hidden easily when you possess it. And the psychologist says it this way: we are much better at inflicting pain than we are tolerating pain. We justify our actions and the way we feel and take no responsibility for our actions, but it's much easier to inflict pain than it is to receive pain. And last week, I made a statement, maybe you'll remember it, and I want to repeat it. This was a statement I made. If you can't remember the last time you were wrong, then something is wrong. You know, we interact with a lot of people through the week. My dad and I will sit together, and a lot of times I'll just sit and listen, and I'll just kind of just you know, kind of listen on, and my dad uses them very often as teaching moments, and we'll leave sometime. And my dad said to me last week, he said, what do you think about that? I said, what scares me about that conversation is that there was no remorse whatsoever. That the action that was taken, that the thing that happened, they're so great at telling us why it's not their fault, but there's no remorse about the parts that are their fault. And I think if we're being honest this morning, me first and then you, I think if we're all being honest this morning, there are portions of our lives that we need to learn from and we need to have remorse from. And God gives us the grace and God gives us the mercy. But if we don't learn from it, we just continue on in it. Hello. And I want to take a portion of scripture from Jonah 4. And as I read this some time ago, the Lord brought it immediately as I started down this journey and down this thought process. The Lord immediately brought this portion of scripture. And I want to visit Jonah 4 as you're turning there. Jonah the book of Jonah tells the life of the prophet, not the prophecies of the prophet. Different from other books of the Bible. I'll say it again. It tells the life of the prophet and not the prophecies of the prophet. In Jonah 4, I'm going to read just a little bit, and you'll understand why in a minute here. But it says these words, "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said?'" Have you ever had an interaction with the Lord like this? "Isn't this what I said when I was still home? That's what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you were gracious and compassionate, God, slow to anger, abounding in love, and a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take my life from me. It's better that I die than I live." And the Lord replies this way, and I want to center in on this. The Lord replies, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And in Jonah 5, he continues on, "Jonah had gone and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, awaited to see what would happen in the city." And I want to just pause, because the Holy Spirit paused me in the first service, and I kept moving on, because if you're not careful up here, you'll just wander, and I don't want to wander at all. But I want to say this. Be careful when you come to moments when you become so frustrated and aggravated that you go off on your own. And that's what Jonah does in this moment. Jonah's mad. Jonah's aggravated. Jonah's frustrated. Jonah's a little irritated. And he goes off on the outside, the east side of the city, and he sits by himself. And this train that started begins to rage more and more and more, because he's got no one around him to say, "Hey, dude, chill out just a sec." How many of you got some people to tell you to chill out a little bit? Just wave at. If you didn't wave at me, if you didn't raise your hand, you got to find some people. And if Jonah had some people to say, "Hey, dude, chill out." And God was trying to minister to him, but I believe he uses each other to do that sometimes. God used Steve Vineyard to do that to me this week. "Hey, dude, it's going to be okay. Chill out." And the scripture goes on to say, "And then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give him shade, to ease his discomfort. Jonah was very happy about the plant, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed up the plant, so it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so he grew faint. He wanted to die again. And he said, 'Wouldn't it be better for me to die than to live?' But God said to Jonah," and he says this again, which really tells me that God's trying to not only say something to Jonah, but he's talking to us today. He's talking to me today. He's talking to you today. He says these words, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And he responds this way. I think it's so funny. "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about the plant, though you didn't tend or grow it. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell the right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This morning, by God's grace, just for the next few minutes, I want to minister on the subject, "Is it right for us to be angry?" Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for the kindness and the grace and the mercy that you show us. We're so thankful this morning. Our hearts are, Lord, forgive us for being angry and just upset and disgruntled over things we have no business being upset about. I pray that you would weave this together in a relevant way this morning, in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen. Amen. My mom called me this week, and if you know my mom means business, okay? When she's trying to accomplish something, and she's headed toward, how many of you know my mom to be that way? And if it's to love on somebody, she's going to love on him. She's a lover. But if she's going to accomplish something, she's going to get the job done and done right. My mom doesn't do half jobs. She doesn't get halfway into it, get fed up, and move on. She finishes the job that she starts. And she called me this week. She began to ask me these questions about this thing that she was working on. And admittedly, I had a fish sandwich stuck in my mouth, and me and my brother and Ben and my dad were hanging out, and we were laughing and joking. And I said these words to my mom. I said, "Mom, I have no idea what you're talking about on the phone. I have no clue what you're asking me right now." And then abruptly, mom said, "You know what my mom said." She says, "Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye." Well, I walked away from lunch after. How many of you men, when you got a fish sandwich, that's all you're thinking about? Yeah. Thank you for the honest men in the house this morning. The rest of you, the Lord bless you. Especially deep fried fish. Oh, Jesus. And I walked away from my fish after my belly was satisfied. And I said, "I better call mom back." And I looked at when mom had called, and I said, "Oh, I'm not calling her back yet. She's still a little heated at me." So I waited a couple hours, and I let the dust settle a little bit, and I called her back, and I didn't wait long enough. And I began to talk to her, and we began to exchange, and my mom began to cry on the phone. Yeah, all right. And she began to explain to me why she was frustrated about what she was frustrated with. And what I realized in the moment is that I had added to the frustration and not contributed to helping her out of the frustration. Now, let me say this. Let me pause and say this. I didn't know she was frustrated. She didn't tell me these are my frustrations. So I'm not a mind reader. I didn't understand that she was frustrated. And had she said, "Hey, honey, I'm really frustrated right now. I'm really upset right now. Can you help me to get some clarity and understanding?" So I was blind on one side of it. I had no clue that she was frustrated. And so I contributed to her frustration unintentionally. Totally unintentionally, totally unaware, totally surprised that I was a contributor to her frustration. You don't know what people are facing. You don't know what people are feeling. And I felt horrible after I left the conversation, thinking I could have done more to show grace and mercy and kindness. I never intended to add to the frustration, but I was oblivious to the situation. I don't like surprises. I don't like not knowing all the facts before I react. I like to know what's happening on the backside. If you get around me, if you work for me, if you're involved in business with me, I ask tons of questions. Lots of questions. Not because I want to micromanage the job, but because I don't want a surprise day three, day four, day five. I don't want something to blow up in my face down the road. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? We heard this week of the world's current events. And what we heard, no matter what channel you watch, no matter what side of the aisle that you're on in politics, what you heard this week is we were unaware that the Taliban would have the momentum and force that they had. And what you heard, what I heard was we were unaware. We got caught by surprise. We were in surprises. What you don't know can hurt you. What you don't know, the surprises that come up in life, they can hurt you. And my mom's frustration and me contributing to it, I didn't mean to do it. It just happened. I wonder this morning how many times in our lives we completely miss something. We completely get caught by surprise because we don't have all the facts. And in this scripture that I've just read, there is clearly, listen to me this morning when I say this, in this scripture there's something clearly that Jonah is totally blind to. Gifted and anointed, and God's hand is on him, and he's not evil. He's not intentionally being evil and vengeful and nasty. He's just completely unaware of where he is. And I wonder in life sometimes that we get such a perspective, such an arrogance, such a stubbornness, such a perspective that I don't care what they say to me. I don't care what they do to me. And God himself could speak to us and we wouldn't hear a word he was saying. And God has to go on and on. God doesn't say it once. If God said, hey, Ryan, is it right for you to be angry? No, Lord, it's not. I'm sorry. Not with Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? And I think God talks to us sometimes. I think that he whispers in our ears sometimes. And we totally disregard the engagement that he's given us. In this scripture, there's clearly something Jonah is missing. Nineveh, yeah. They've got their problems. But if you read the book of Jonah, you begin to understand that the prophet in this scripture is a mess. And he needs help at many levels. Jonah receives orders to go into one of the greatest cities in the world. It was a huge city located in what we would call today northern Iraq, called the Assyrian city. Jonah was sent there to preach the word of God with no resources. No church, no Facebook, no pastoral staff. All he was called to do was go into the city and shout, repent. The odds are against Jonah. He's sent to share, and his ministry, listen to this, is dysfunctional as Jonah is messed up as we've just talked about Jonah is. The lack of resources that he has brings me to my first point this morning. When you do what God has called you to do, even if the odds are against you and your approach is rough, what I really thought was something different, but I said rough, he will use you to accomplish his will. Let me say that one more time, because someone needs to hear this morning, because we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. When you do what God has called you to do, even when the odds are against you and your approach is rough at times, God will use you to accomplish his will. It may look impossible, but he says, I'll do all things through you. It might be frustrating, but he says, I'll give you perfect peace. It might look difficult, but he says, if you'll commit your way unto me, I'll make your plans be established. It's okay if it looks too big, because he says, humble yourself in the Lord and he'll exalt you. Just do what you can do and trust he'll do with the little you have and make you ruler over much. You might get discouraged along the way. If I'm being honest, I was discouraged this week. Totally discouraged. And I don't want to get into why. I'll preach that another week. But I was discouraged. But I begin to encourage myself in the Lord. And what I'm trying to say this morning is when God asks you to do something, if you do it, he'll get behind you. And in John 14:21, he puts it this way. He says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is he that loves me. And this is what I want to center in on. And he said, who loves me will be loved by my Father and will love him, and he'll manifest himself to you. What I'm trying to say is, obedience to the will of God in your life give you supernatural power to do what you can in your own strength. And let me tell you this. This old boy up here, this kid up here is a living, walking, breathing testimony of God's supernatural power on a life. I can't get up here and talk. You're looking at the shyest kid. You're looking at a kid with anxiety. You're looking at a kid that was so ran over in the corner to hide. If I saw a group of people, I went the other way. But when you do what God has asked you to do, He'll get behind you, and all of a sudden you'll feel this power and gifting and anointing from heaven. You'll say, what the heck was that? It was God on your life. It was the supernatural gifting and anointing that He sends when you're obedient. Just when you're obedient. And I think of the groups in this room. I think of the small groups in this room. I think of Art. I think of Judy. I think of Sue. I think of Amy. I think of Brad. The odds are against you, just like the odds were against Jonah. But if you walk in obedience, if you walk in grace, if you walk in mercy, all of a sudden that supernatural push from heaven is dropped on you, and He gives you the grace to do what you couldn't do on your own. And look what happens with Jonah. He gets what any preacher would want. In the third chapter of Jonah, the city is brought to repentance. Get this, this is not a small city. 120,000 people, the city's brought to repentance. The city's brought to prayer. The city's brought to supplication. The city is brought to honoring God. 120,000 people to one, and God uses them to do something mighty. And look what Jonah does. And this is what I want to get back to a little bit this morning. He says, I'm mad, God, because you're gracious and compassionate. He's not happy. I'm going to say it. I don't have a problem winning. I like to win. When I win, I will click my shoes together and do a funky dance that I won't do in front of you. I will walk out and, you know, something will come up, but I don't. When I win, I love. But Jonah, his spirit is so warped. His spirit is so. He's gone the wrong way so hard that he gets mad at God for showing mercy and grace to the people. He says to God, "I knew it would work." He says to God, "I knew that you would be gracious and compassionate to these people." Which brings me to my second point this morning: Are you a person that fears winning? Jonah is mad because it worked. And remember what he said. Jonah said, I knew if I obeyed you, it would work. I knew if I obeyed and did your will, it would work. And some people are more comfortable failing and run from success. They like to fail because they find comfort in it. With success comes responsibility, success comes accountability. With success comes pressure. Failure is free. And I don't say this to make anybody feel bad, but I say it to illuminate hell's grip on a life, hell's grip on a family, that you don't want to get comfortable and embrace failing. You want to learn and you want to progress and move from glory to glory and faith to faith. Failure is free because it brings sympathy and empathy and pity and attention. And some people love the benefits of failure. People fail in their finances because they know if they do better, they'll get excommunicated. Can I be real honest this morning? My brother and I, from a young age, God has just, He's just pushed us along. He's just helped us. He's kind of took us from this and pushed us over here since a very young age. And can I tell you, there's been people, you start hearing the hate, you start seeing the eyes, and all of a sudden you get this excommunication from certain people. And here's what you got to be very careful of. Sometimes you got to be okay with being excommunicated from people. Nineveh wasn't Jonah's fight. Nineveh changed quickly. But look who didn't. Jonah didn't change quickly. Now I understand. It's not about Nineveh. It's about Jonah. And God keeps saying to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to run away, Jonah? Is it right for you to be obstinate, Jonah? Is it right for you to be unforgiving, Jonah? Is it right for you to be stubborn, Jonah? Jonah is the one who got swallowed by the fish. Jonah is the one who God gave clarity and identity and direction and gave him success. And he's still mad at God. Nineveh changed fast, but Jonah was mad like a two-year-old. God, give me this. God gave it to him. And he went right from that. Now, God, give me that. And he gave it to him. And nothing could make Jonah happy. He's like a tired two-year-old. No matter what you do, they need a nap. Amen. People will never be happy. Some people will never be happy because you are going to win. And the more you win, the more mad they get. Don't get distracted now. Listen to the word of the Lord. Because they don't want to win with you. They want you to join them. Don't get distracted. Come on with this. It's when you preach the truth like this, it'll get a little sketchy for a minute. But the grace and the mercy of God is being poured out in here. How could this be so, Ryan? How could people not want to win? That's what you're asking yourself. How could they not want to win? And this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. I wonder when the last time Jonah said, I'm wrong. I wonder when the last time he said, I did wrong. I got it wrong. Be careful that every story you tell about yourself, you're not the hero. How could Jonah be so anointed, gifted, talented, blessed to turn an entire city upside down and him be so angry at God? He can't recognize his own anger and shortcoming. When God asked, is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? He was saying to Jonah, are you wrong in this, Jonah? Jonah was more wrong than he was right. And he knew better, but didn't do better. And my third point this morning, how much of our devotion is drenched into our day-to-day? It's like saying, this is how much do we practice what we preach? Jonah hears from God and has a relationship enough to talk with him, but he still hates people. Which makes me challenge myself. We must be cautious that we don't get so headstrong that we get heart weak. We can't go into our small groups. We've been in this series right now on the blood of Jesus and what it provides for us. Oh, my Lord, what a revealing connect group. What a revealing about the grace and the mercy and the compassion of God. But if we don't leave with it and share it with someone else, how much is our daily devotion drenched into our day-to-day? I don't think people are bad. I don't think people are mean. But I do believe people don't think things through sometimes. And we can't look in the mirror as we should at times. Can we tolerate pain like we inflict it? Remember when Jesus said, you kill the prophets and you think you do God's service. What that's saying is they knew better, but they didn't do better. And I want to challenge us this morning to really look at our hearts and ask the Lord, is there something there? Is there something inside me that I'm missing? Is it right that I'm angry about this? And I'm coming to a close in 1 John 4:17. It says these words, herein is our love made perfect, that we may come boldly in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And this is what I want to center in on. If a man say, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother who is seen, How can you love God who you have not seen? And God says the way you love people matters. Worship is great. The word is great. A board seat is great. A pastorate is great. But until you love people, the Bible says, you a liar. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. So get mad at him, not mad at me, okay? Sometimes people can get so apologized, so hard-hearted that they can't apologize. They can get so hard-hearted they can't say, you know what? I'm wrong. Jonah is effective in some areas, but what he misses is that his heart has become hard and he can't see it. Can I be real transparent just for a second? This week, it struck me when I saw those 800 people in the back of that military plane. It struck me. I didn't think about politics. I didn't think about Republican, Democrat. I didn't think about anything to do with politics. Here's what I thought of. I was sitting on my couch with a cup of coffee. My kids' beds were in place. I had a home. I wasn't displaced. I had food, lots of it. I had everything that I needed. And there's families that are completely and totally displaced. And I said, God, forgive me for the lack of thanksgiving and gratitude that I have for the greatest country in the world, the USA. And as I posted that picture, and some of you saw it, people got on there and they said, they shouldn't come here. And this one's an idiot, and this one's stupid. And let me tell you something. I might agree with some of that, and I might not agree with some of it, but what I'll never agree with is when I see your son or your daughter needs help, when I see your mom, your dad needs help, when I see your family member that needs help, I will never point a finger and say, they deserve it. And neither should you. Anyone who says they love God and they won't forgive, they won't apologize, they never say I'm wrong, they never say I missed it, they never say I take it back. Tell your neighbor, I take it back. It's hard to say that you love God if you hate someone. It's tough. How much is your devotion drenched into your day-to-day? How much have you allowed God to change your heart? I'm using Jonah today because Jonah's mad at God for being nice. Listen to that. Jonah's mad at God because he's being nice to people, because he's being kind to people, my last point. Are you a reflection of the grace and mercy that has been shown to you? I'll tell you right now, I know enough people in this room that God has been so merciful. God has been so kind. God has relented so much. How dare we point a finger in anger and hate to our brothers and sisters? Are we a reflection of the grace and mercy that has been shown to us? Isn't this the same Jonah that cried out from the belly of the fish? Wasn't this the same man that cried out in distress and God pulled him from despair? Aren't you the man, Jonah, that cried out to God after you totally disobeyed him and God showed mercy and then anointed you and blessed you and used you to do an amazing work? And now Jonah doesn't want God to show these people the same mercy God has shown him. Mercy doesn't end with us. It starts with us. If we've been forgiven much, we should be the best lovers in the world. It's not right for you to be angry, Jonah, because we know you should have been dead. We know it's by his love and mercy that you're still married. We know it's by his love and mercy that you're not homeless, but God had mercy. Don't forget your need for mercy and forgiveness. We should be a reflection of what we receive. Jonah was angry about the same thing he needed God to do for him. And all I'm asking this morning is real simple. Is it right for us to be angry at people? Is it right for us to be vengeful to people? No, it's not. And it never will be. And I don't care what side of the political line. Now, I really don't. I really don't judge people. Oh, he's this, he's that. I really don't feel that way. I thank God. I thank God that he's working in my heart and in my spirit that even people that I don't like what they do and I don't like what they say and I might not like what they represent, but I still can love them with Jesus' love. If that's your prayer, lift your hand all over this house. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, by the working of your Holy Spirit, that you're working this into our hearts. God, keep us from thinking of other people. Oh, that's for him. That's for her. That's for them. That's for someone else. No, no, Lord, it's for us. Say it's for us. Say it again. It's for us. It's for us, Lord. Help us to love the way you've called us to love and give mercy and grace and let us be a reflection of how you loved us. And we'll thank you for it. We'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can give the Lord a praise. Go ahead. Go ahead. Give him a praise. Hey, I want you to know I love you so much. I care for you. If you need something, holler at us. This Thursday, guys, you must not have really liked what I said there. I'm just kidding. This Thursday, I really believe that I have a word from the Lord. I don't know how I got scheduled two services in a row, Pastor Aaron. You know what Pastor Aaron said to me? She goes, if you didn't do it, I was going to have to do it, so you had to do it. But I'm excited. I'm excited, and I feel blessed. I've got a word from the Lord for you this Thursday at 7 p.m. right in this room. God bless you. Have a great day.